Let us turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 1, the first chapter of Mark. And we'll read it, verse 31, about Peter's wife's mother and the Lord Jesus. Verse 31, he, that is Lord Jesus, came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And immediately the fever left her, and she ministered unto them. Verse 40 of chapter 1. And there came a leper to him, beseeching him, and kneeling down to him, and saying unto him, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. And Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand, and touched him, and saith unto him, I will, be thou clean. Chapter 5. And we'll read it, verse 35, for connection. While he yet spake, there came from the ruler of the synagogue's house certain which said, thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? Verse 36, especially precious. As soon as Jesus heard the word that was spoken, he saith unto the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. Chapter 10. And per connection, we should read it, verse 13. And they brought young children to him, that he should touch them. And his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased. And he said unto them, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of heaven. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. Notice especially verse 16. And he took them up in his arms, and put his hands upon them, and blessed them. And verse 21. Then Jesus, beholding him, loved him, and said unto him, one thing thou lackest. Go thy way, sell whatsoever thou hast, and give to the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven. Now, we've been hearing about our Lord Jesus coming, and for a few minutes, let us consider the perfect service of our Lord Jesus here on earth. And may the Lord encourage us to be more like him in his service. Now, W. Graham Scroggie, in his excellent book, A Guide to the Gospel, tells us that it's only 7% of Mark that's unique to Mark. 93% of Mark is found in at least one of the other Gospels. It's the exact opposite of John. John is the most unique of all the Gospels, 93% unique. Only 7% of John is found in any other Gospel. Now, you might think there's more of Mark unique. You can think that, really, but we can say this dogmatically, that Mark is the least unique of all the Gospels. That's beyond question. He's the least. But what I want to point out is he shines out the brightest when he emphasizes the need of love, patience, and compassion. That little bit that's unique, it's beautiful to see how he brings out about his love, patience, and compassion. We read of 5 incidents recorded in each of the first 3 Gospels. But it's only Mark has a little detail missed in all the others that emphasizes his love, patience, and compassion. They all tell us about Peter's wife's mother, but it's only Mark that tells us. Mark 1, verse 31, he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And they all tell us about the leper cleansed at the beginning of the Lord's public ministry, but it's only Mark that tells us. Verse 41, Jesus, moved with compassion, put forth his hand and touched, I will, be thou clean. Immediately, the leprosy departed from him. It's only Mark that tells us he's moved with compassion on the leper. Now, really, the Lord Jesus not only had compassion and cleansed them, but he cleansed them in the most compassionate way. I believe that touch meant more to the leper than can be explained in words. He had to be separate from others. He had a loathsome disease. And he was sure the Lord was able to cleanse him. He wasn't sure he was willing. I believe the reason he wasn't sure he was willing because of the nature of the disease he had. And then in chapter 5, Matthew, Mark, and Luke all tell us about the rich young ruler whose 12-year-old girl was near to death, and about the woman with the issue of blood for 12 years that interrupted them. And we read verse 35, how Jairus got the sad news. Thy daughter is dead. Why troublest thou the master any further? I love what Mark said, and it's only Mark that says, as soon as he heard the words, he said to the ruler of the synagogue, be not afraid, only believe. He didn't wait for the father to break down and cry at the news his only girl was dead. As soon as he heard the word, be not afraid, isn't that like the tender compassion of the Lord Jesus? And then Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell us about the mothers that brought their children. It's only Mark that tells us, Mark 10, verse 16, he took them up into his arms and blessed them. And then they all tell us about the rich young ruler. But it's only Mark that tells us, Mark 10, verse 21, Jesus, beholding them, loved them. So really, when Mark is emphasizing his love, patience, and compassion, the little part that's unique to him, it really is very touching. And I'm going to quote 3 verses about his preaching that's only in the Gospel of Mark. First of all, in Mark chapter 4, verse 33, with many such parables spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. We should notice that. He didn't give them too much. He didn't give them too little. We don't often think about it, but it's possible to give an unsaved person too much at one time. Now, sometimes in gospel meetings, saints work hard to get an unsaved one out for the first time. And after they listen to the gospel for an hour, they got lots to think about. Some well-meaning person buttons holds them and makes them listen to another hour from them. Now, the people that get that kind of treatment get too much. They vomit the whole thing up. They never come back again. And it's not like the Lord Jesus. With many such parables, spake he the word unto them as they were able to hear it. And then, chapter 6, verse 34. Jesus, when he came out, saw much people and was moved with compassion toward them, because as sheep not having a shepherd, and he began to teach them many things. I love that verse. That tells me this, that all the Savior's solemn, searching, gospel preaching was all based on his compassion. No wonder, and it's only in Mark, these 3 verses I'm quoting are only in the Gospel of Mark, Mark 12, verse 37, the common people heard him gladly. No wonder he was so patient and so compassionate. There are only 2 miracles unique to Mark, even though he has 18 miracles, much more than any other gospel proportionally for the amount of time he has. But anyway, there's 2 miracles unique. One of them is the last 7 verses of chapter 7, the deaf and dumb man. And it's only there that we have this testimony, verse 37. He hath done all things well. He maketh both the deaf to hear and the dumb to speak. It's striking that in those 7 verses, 4 times we have the hearing before the speaking. And I believe that's suggestive in the gospel of the servant. We must hear God speaking to us first before we can speak for God. The other miracle is in chapter 8, verse 22 to 25, the blind man of Bethsaida. Our Lord Jesus touched him and he could see men as trees walking. And then he touched him again and he could see men, all men clearly. Now, I'm sure the Lord, if he chose to, he could have cleansed him completely the first time. I believe the Lord himself knew that Mark would be inspired of the Spirit of God to record it, to show that everything the Lord Jesus began, he finished. Now, in those two miracles, his touch is emphasized, and the touch of Christ is emphasized all through the Gospel of Mark. What do we learn from the touch of the Lord Jesus? Just this, that we can't be standoffish. We have to get close to the ones we're yearning to bless. Sometimes we have to win them to ourselves before we can win them for the Savior. So with this, I'm going to close. I'm going to tell about Charlie Bignato. The late Frank Piercy told me about Charlie Bignato. Charlie Bignato was born in Italy. And in his unsaved days, he had an argument with his brother-in-law. And it was so heated, they decided they'd settle that argument with a duel. They both lined up back to back with loaded revolvers. They walked so many steps apart, his brother-in-law fired first and missed. And he fired and killed his brother-in-law. So he was taken to the Sault Ste. Marie Penitentiary in Ontario. Thank God there was a sister of ours, all of us, who was a real soul winner. But she's the heroine of this story. I feel constrained to say that it'd be difficult for an attractive sister in the 20s, 30s, 40s, maybe even 50s to safely do what she did. But they knew she was only there because she had love for souls. She came every Wednesday. The first Wednesday, he was in the penitentiary. She offered to get him a Bible in his mother tongue. No, I'm not interested. So then she said, well, let me pray with you. I don't need God. So then she put her arms around him, which could be dangerous sometime. But anyway, she got him down on his knees. And she poured out her heart in prayer for him. When he got up off the knees, he took one look at her face. There was tears down her cheeks. He said afterwards, when I saw those tears, she had me right in the palm of her hand. I wanted her Savior. So he told her to bring the Bible next Wednesday, which he did. But by the following Wednesday, he had had his trial and was sent to 15 years in the Kingston Penitentiary. When he read the Bible, what impressed him the most was Christ in Gethsemane and Christ on the cross. The verse that gave him the most assurance was 1 John 1, verse 7, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin. When he first said he was saved in the penitentiary, they didn't believe him. And really, there was a good reason why they didn't believe him. Because others had said they were saved, and it wasn't long until it was obvious that still the same old stinking self was no change, because the gospel we preach is life-changing. If it doesn't change, it's not the gospel we're talking about. It changes lives. But it wasn't too long before they could see there was a real change in Charlie Bignato's life. He was released after 9 years. But most of the rest of the time, if there's any prisoner having trouble, I'll send him to Charlie Bignato. After he left the penitentiary, he was in the Block Avenue Assembly in Toronto, Ontario, until the Lord took him home to heaven. Frank Piercy told me, sometimes he'd give out number 6. We sang it this morning here. Alas, and did my Savior bleed, and did my sovereign die, would he devote that sacred head for such a worm as I? Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon a tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Frank Piercy told me that sometimes when he read the second verse, he'd just choke up and sit down. Was it for crimes that I have done? He groaned upon a tree, amazing pity, grace unknown, and love beyond degree. Now, why do I tell this? Surely that sister had some of the compassion of the Lord Jesus. May the Lord help us to have some of his compassion as well, while we're waiting for him to come.